All right, welcome everyone. Welcome to week 13. This is the second to last class in our series. I can hardly believe it. It's been almost 3 months. And this class is called Discovering Your Unique Goddess Archetype. I was just saying earlier that today is an amazingly beautiful day here in Santa Cruz, and I have major spring fever. And I really just kind of let that take me over today. The wildflowers in my garden are just blooming like crazy. I have these gorgeous, really tall red poppies, and then I have the California gold poppies and some sort of blue and violet wildflowers. I don't know what they're called, but that's my front yard is all wildflowers. And thanks to a bit of late rain, they're lasting and they keep blooming, so thank goodness for that. But the thought came to me today that spring is just the perfect name for this season we're in, because the life force is just like bursting out through all the plants and animal activity and soon to be bugs on the East Coast, like Stephanie was saying, birds and the bees. And I do miss the East Coast during spring and fall, because I miss that dramatic change. It's so marked. And but I've gotten used to it over the years. I've gotten used to the more subtle change, and I still absolutely love spring and fall where I live too. And I just wanted to say about this feeling of the change of season when it hits, you know, whether it's the fall nip in the air, that turn of season, and or whether it's a spring, which just really hit me full force today. That strong body response we have through the senses, and it's not just, you know, the pollen count, which is very high. I actually looked at the Monterey, the Monterey website for the pollen forecast, I think it is, and it's really high today. So that's one of our signs of spring. And I do not have such a big reaction to it, but I do take a little bee pollen, which seems to help me quite a bit. So there's the seasonal cycles, and then there's daily cycles, because very much like winter into spring, which is, you know, in the winter time, which is what's called a dormant period, actually the plants and trees, they collect their life force energy in their core and at their root. And it's really important cycle to have the energy that goes back to the core, back to the root. It's very much like our day, from day until night and then day again. You know, at night when we rest and then fall into sleep metabolism, we collect our energies to the core. We're not accessing the postural muscles except when we're having the rapid eye movements, the dreams. You know, sometimes our muscles will move as if we are moving. But those are brief periods of time. For the most part, you know, we're releasing something in our dreams or going through an activity or rehearsing whatever we're doing there. But mostly when we're resting, our energies are way in the core of our bodies, and that is also where, when we're meditating, you know, your energies go to your core and your brain waves shift, and different brain centers are far more active and other ones become dormant. There is a metabolism and a chemistry, brainwave states, a blood chemistry, vibrational shift. If you measure not just EKGs and EEGs, which are the heart and the brain, but you measure the surface of the skin, these instruments, galvanic skin response, can record the changes that we're going through, because the nervous system and the skin are so linked. They're in the very same germ layer when the embryo is developing. And when it separates, one becomes the innermost, the nervous system, one becomes the outermost. But they start as one layer. When the embryo only has three layers of tissue, one of them contains what will become the skin and the nervous system. So we're so, you know, our outer boundary to the world, which is our skin and our senses, sense perceptions, are so finely tuned to our inner state. It's just a little bit of physiology that when you think about it, actually makes sense, because we're registering our environment all the way to the deepest systems of our body so that we can respond to that environment and make the changes and shifts that are necessary, and you know, the changes in our melanin and melatonin in our system going from day to night, and all our neurophysiology, we're responding to seasonal changes and to the changes of our light source in our environment. So let me just take a breath and back to the birds and the bees. Nature takes such good care of this impulse of seasonal energies that, you know, the animals are, the early spring is their time generally for mating, so that babies will be born and mature before winter months, of course. So that all of this incredible activity in spring and early summer, there is just this feeling, the perfume in the air. It is an erotic kind of sensation. It makes you swoon. It makes you want to just, you know, get out and dance. It's that feeling, too, because it's getting near Memorial Day and the end of the spring, that, you know, school's out. And then there's summer, which is supposed to be playtime, you know, the long, lazy days of summer. And there is something to it. Our bodies responding to the seasons, what we like to do, how much we get out, and how internal that we feel in the days of least light. In the darkest days, we feel so internal. And so let's pay attention to how we're responding to our environment, what's on the breeze, what's in our gardens, our hillside, or meadows, or the forest that you take your walks in. Hold on a second. Did I press record? Yes, I did. Okay. So just for now, before we get into the topic for this evening, let's just take time to drop into our core, take a breath, and drop in. And just notice how your body's feeling right this moment. And on your exhale, let the air out slowly, and let whatever you're sitting on really take your weight. Another inhale, long, slow, fill the belly. Remember the conscious wave breath, where as we're filling the belly, we arch the back slightly. And that wave of breath moves up through the body, and then as we exhale, you round the back. And just moving with your breath in a wave gets us out of our heads and into whole body awareness. We drop in and we include our belly, which is our gut instincts, our pelvis, that life force, creative force, the reservoir. And in the rocking motion of the pelvis, we get a sense, especially in any position, but when we're sitting, we can really have a sense of being held by gravity. So feel the energy through the sit bones, and on releasing the breath, allow yourself to feel held. And I'm sitting on a stool right now, so I don't have anything on my back, so I'm just enjoying the rocking motion. But if you have something that's supporting your back, shoulders, head and neck, just on the exhale, sink into that support. And enjoy the feeling of being held. This is your space and time to enjoy receiving. And the body loves to receive support. That's what brings a relaxation response. Just sink into it. And then let your arms and legs go. Just coming present into that sensation. And wherever you are, whatever the environment is like, end of the day or into night, just appreciate the seasonal influence today. Was it the warmth and longer days of light, that the scent on the breeze, or the trees budding green, wildflowers waving out in my garden, migrating birds, bird song that you haven't heard in a little while, they're back nesting. Just appreciate this time of year, this cycle. Your body's aware of it. Your senses are aware of it. You can let yourself kind of swoon in the spring with the bursting life force. Life is spring-loaded in the spring. All right, just coming back, softening the gaze when you open the eyes. And just appreciating the feeling of being present in the body. So this is a very big topic. How can you teach a course walking the way of the goddess without talking about goddess archetypes? And why did I wait till the end to mention them, right? Well, it's, you know, there's so much here. You could teach a whole course on goddess archetypes. And really, for the purpose of this course, I wanted to focus on this topic when it serves what we're doing. And it's a 90-day course, and we're getting in touch with a heart's desire, which is a vision of something that we really want to manifest. And then we're walking it through with feminine empowered manifestation. So a course on the history of the goddess archetypes is a whole nother course. But yet it's really important to take a look at what is an archetype and how do these goddess archetypes, how can they serve us with empowered feminine manifestation? What does this have to do with modern life? You know, that's what I'm looking at, is how can anything serve in this course? And the word archetype, what's an archetype? So let's start with a dictionary definition, then we'll take it from there. So the definition of archetype, it's a noun, and it is an original pattern or model from which all things of the same kind are based. It's a first form or a prototype. Okay, that's like Webster's, right? But here is Swiss psychologist Carl Jung's definition, and this was one of Sigmund Freud's contemporaries who diverged from a classical Freudian analysis to include a whole nother realm of the collective unconscious. And Carl Jung really felt like we're not just a product of our, you know, early childhood wounding, that that's, you know, not a sentence for life only, and that he really saw us as influenced by our aspirations, by our visions, that we actually can create something totally new or a new future because of our inspirations. And he was very, very, very big on bringing out this archetypal realm and mapping that out quite a bit. So our focus is on goddess archetypes, but here's a Jungian psychology definition of archetype. It's a collectively inherited unconscious idea, a pattern of thought, an image universally present in individual psyches. So that means it's, you know, beyond culture, beyond the era or time. And we all express these archetypes in terms of a symbol or a dream image, and it's something that all humans share, and it expresses an underlying idea or fears that we all experience, right? They're projections, something suprahuman, S-U-P-R-A, beyond or above, you know, seen as beyond or above us in terms of the goddess archetypes. You know, something out there is how we experience that. And for our purposes in this course, we're seeing what resonates inside with what elements of nature these goddesses resource their power from. What are they carrying? What's the power source? And what's that reflection to us that we can tap into? It's an incredibly powerful tool. So let's see, for Carl Jung, the water as an element, an archetypal element, it influences, let's say, in dream symbology, sometimes birth, creation, sexuality, fertility, growth. That's the elemental archetype. And each goddess has her power element. And that's how she sources her power, and there's always a myth and a legend that goes along with that and how that came to be. But the visions that we reach for inspire us in the way that we want to create our lives. You know, what? How does this affect our life in the present? All right, we might as well make this a conscious process because these are powerful energies that we often don't utilize or identify with or think we have access to on a daily basis, which we actually do. Remember my time in Bali, I was so impressed with the way that this Hindu culture preserves its relationship to its deities through ritual and dance, and it's their form of prayer in action, you know, this, and they spend, you know, 5 or 6 hours creating art every day. I mean, every family has its artists, and they're all artists, and they carve everything that doesn't move. They carve stone, they carve leather, and they carve absolutely everything. And it's so intricate and beautiful and amazing, and it's meditative. You know, they're spending so much time in a meditative state every day creating. One thing I absolutely love with their gratitude prayers, which they do like 3 times a day, it's very traditional for those who practice traditionally, which are many of the population, and they are everywhere. They're origami plant leaves and flower petals. They take the leaves of plants and they fold them into origami shapes, and each one has its own meaning, and I was given one that was an ancestral, you know, homage to the ancestors, origami with a little sticky rice and the flower petals and incense, and it's an offering to the ancestors. But these things are everywhere. They're on every window sill and door step, and they're also on every vendor's table because they bring blessings, you know. So the place is littered with gratitude blessings, and I was so impressed by that, how they incorporate this into their daily life. We have nothing like that whatsoever in our modern culture. We have, you know, rituals on a Sabbath, whatever that is, and that's about it. Okay, so let's start with goddess archetypes. The oldest, most ancient goddess archetypes is the goddess Gaia. And as far back as you can go, her images are either carved or painted on stone. And ancient cultures all around the globe revered her. She has this voluptuous form. She is the source, mother, and protector of all life. She's the ultimate giver of abundance. So in Greek history, she is the primordial deity. She is the giver of all life. She birthed the earth and the universe, and all the gods and other goddesses come from the womb of Gaia. She's considered the center of creation. So that's a good place to start. She's the most ancient deity. And in Egypt, the goddess Isis was considered the ultimate mother goddess. And she's often portrayed as a woman holding an ankh, that symbol of infinity or eternal life. And sometimes she's in a female body with either a cow's head, or sometimes she has horns on a headpiece, and she's also worshipped as a goddess of fertility. So I thought I would start there, because that kind of covers the beginning, the origin, the divine mother goddess. Now I want to talk about three main energies to the cycles of creation, because our course is all about manifestation, and then we'll look at the goddesses and how they relate to these three energies. The first one is beginnings, which is birth and new life, so it's new form, inspirations, and visions. So that's the first energy of the cycle of life. It's birth. It's the beginning. And that's, you know, when we're touching energy from our vision. And then the second energy is the maintaining of life. That's the nurturing and the healing energies. Right? And the third energy is the endings of life or form, dissolving of form. Death, which goes into rebirth, and then that cycles back to the beginning of new form. And those are known as the three main energies to the cycles of creation. So if we look at the goddesses, we'll see what aspects of nature they predominantly reflect, what elements they reflect, and we get a clue to their source of power and the gifts that they bestow. Also, you know, reading the myths and legends, I can see why Joseph Campbell said we need new myths and we need to up-level our archetypes, because when you read about the gods and goddesses, you know, in the Greek or Egyptian, they're you know, possessive and jealous and they do violence. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. It's just really, it mirrors, you know, our human history and the way that I'm offering the archetypes in this course is more the elevated or up-leveled archetypal images that are in harmony with these three cycles of creation and manifestation. They certainly can be utilized in that way. All right, let's see. The Chinese have a great system of looking at the elements. That's a lot of what I've studied is five elements and also Ayurvedic system. So I like to use that model as they divide up the elements into fire, earth, water, and then air or metal. Those two go together, interestingly enough. And then wood, which represents the plant kingdom. So let's see what elements various goddesses embody in the different cultures around the world. All right, so we talked about Gaia. She's recognized as the Earth Mother Goddess. She's, you know, the mother of them all. And then let's go to the fire element. So ancient Polynesia, the goddess Pele, goddess of the volcano. Her energies are both of destruction and creation. She's known for her passion and her power. That would make sense. The power to destroy, right, as the lava erupts or flows, it burns whatever's in its path. But also over time, as it cools, that becomes the most fertile soil on the planet Earth. From the belly of the Earth, from the womb, the primordial fire, which is seen as destructive, is also the most fertile, the most creative. So Pele is right on that, the cusp of that dissolving or destroying energy into rebirth and creation. That's what she brings. Then there are goddesses that bridge creating the new form and maintaining the new form. And the goddess of fire that is a creative and maintaining goddess, those are goddesses of the hearth and the kitchen, like Hestia, the Greek goddess of the hearth. She is the keeper of the fire, tender of the fire of the home, and that's the place of cooking. That's the culinary art. It's also a place of alchemy, medicinal herbs for healing. The kitchen has both those symbologies in it, like an alchemical laboratory the domestic, you know, abundance and the giver of life, the sharing of the abundance of the food. An Irish goddess, Brigit or Birgit, is worshipped in Celtic polytheism. She's a goddess of healing also, and she's associated with the fire element of creativity and healing. She's also known for poetry, the goddess of poetry. I found that very interesting that she's associated with fire, and that's the creative, again, the creative aspect into the maintaining aspect or the healing. Okay, other healers are the oracles. The oracles are the channelers of wisdom. So this is on the often considered to be on the air element and or metal element. I'll tell you why those two go together. In Chinese medicine, the lungs are on the metal element. And so obviously, you know, we're breathing air. And also the metal itself is conductive. It conducts electricity, right? So it represents channeling. And then gems and crystals also represent reflecting the light of wisdom, like gems of wisdom, and also focusing the ray of our attention. So the goddesses that are associated with wisdom and clarity, one would be Persephone, which is a Greek goddess of wisdom. Also the oracles of Delphi, the women who were considered the channels and keepers of the wisdom of the Delphi. Where is that? That's in Cyprus, right? In Greece, that ancient temple. They were very revered for their powers of seeing. They were the seers, the visionaries. That's the element of ether, air, and or metal. And those would be the visionaries. Those would be in the level of vision and inspiration and creating new form. And also into maintaining. People would come to them for advice for healing and healing energy. And speaking of healing, Kuan Yin is one of my favorite goddesses, a Chinese goddess of healing. She's would be considered in the maintaining category in the her loving nature. It's said that there was nothing that you could bring before Kuan Yin that could not be forgiven. She is the Eastern version of Mother Mary. They're both kind of the East and West versions of this mother goddess who is all compassionate. Nothing is outside the reach of their compassion. That is why the miracles of healing are attributed to them, because there's nothing that you cannot lay in their lap. The darkest of the dark can come and be exonerated, forgiven, healed. And that's their miraculous power, both of them. So, they are both personifications of this forgiveness and the nurturing mother goddesses. So there are so many aspects of what I'm calling the maintaining energy or the nurturing and healing frequency. There are the ones who are gifted with plants and plant life, you know, the herbalist medicines, in charge of that knowledge and passing that down, and the ones who are have the animal wisdom, the animal communicators who communicate with the spirits of animals and their medicine, their power, the Indian archetype. I remember a historical figure who was the guide for Lewis and Clark. Her name was Sacagawea. Forgotten her tribe, I'll have to look it up. But, you know, through the Pacific Northwest and across the country, this knowledge of guiding wisdom and being able to read the signs and being able to map new territory, that's the goddess of pioneer spirit. And you can imagine, here she is in the boats with Lewis and Clark. It very much reminded me of those, what are they called? They have the women on the bows of the ships that are carved, that wooden figure leading, guiding the tall ships. I think it's called the Maidenhead is what it's called. It's kind of a sexual reference that they are the guiding force for that pioneer to go forth with safety or with blessings. It's an image of a goddess, interestingly enough. And then there's the teaching energy, the ones that are gifted with young children and or adults, but the mother goddess and specifically is seen with little children, you know, around her knees. And then the goddess of the harvest who shares the bounty in our autumn and then on into the Thanksgiving season celebrated with that. Then we have that. So that those are goddesses that Celtic goddesses that are celebrated for the bounty of the harvest, and to make sure that, you know, when, in giving offerings to them, that they would provide the plenty, you know, in that season, and plenty that could be that would last through the winter season. So then we get to the element of water. Water is often the sensual goddess, the erotic goddess of beauty associated with the elements of water. And, you know, there's Botticelli's famous painting in the 1500s, somewhere in the middle 1500s, The Birth of Venus. And she's seen rising out of the ocean on a scallop shell, right? Sometimes it's called Venus on the half shell. You've seen that famous painting. She was supposed to be born of the foam of the sea, and her quality is both physical and spiritual, depending on where you read about her. The water represents sensuality and the spiritual dimension, the depths of our beings, and the beauty has a physical and divine dimension. The goddess Aphrodite, her Roman name was Venus, but it's also known as Aphrodite. In Greece, and her powers were to stir desire itself, the power of Eros or desire to move body, heart, and soul to create. So in just a short review, I want us to look at modern day role models that embody goddess energy, because you know, while it's wonderful to touch base with these ancient archetypal forms, and I think it's great to have them in your environment, I have a little statue from Bali in front of me of Shakti and Shiva, the male and female, dancing together, a gorgeous carving that I got from Bali. And there's just a few things I have in jewelry and a statue and a couple of drawings that do evoke this supra, S-U-P-R-A, suprahuman archetypal energy, which helps keep us open to the miraculous. We want to keep our doorways open for manifestation being miraculous and with ease and in the flow. And these goddess archetypes with the source of the element that they embody are like these tuning forks for us. Just having them in your environment, a piece of garden art or a drawing, a little piece of jewelry, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be, you know, obviously archetypal, but it means something to you that really triggers your subconscious to stay open. It's like a physical anchor. For your eyes, for your senses, whatever, you know, touch, however you are receiving that, it's important to touch base with something that will open a doorway for you archetypally to their source powers. So I just want to suggest that because it's not really talked about in modern life at all. You know, it's seen as very superstitious. And I'm looking at it from a psychological, scientific, physiological, and a mystical perspective. It's important. Okay, so East and West, modern-day women and or saints that embody divine energies. We need role models. We need to make it real. We need to be grounded. So as much as it's great to have these archetypal forms and their symbols around us, and I do, also, you know, this is called walking the way of the goddess, so there's an opportunity here to bring it in, and we want to see others who have gone before us and who have brought in the energies that inspire us for how to lead our lives. And I'm going to share with you two or three of mine, and then I'm going to do a guided exercise where to help you get in touch with yours. All right, so, well, first I want to talk about just a few that are, you know, in modern culture that you will know about, probably several of them. And so one of them you may know about the Hugging Saint, Amma the Hugging Saint, a Hindu lovely lady from India who has been, my goodness, doing her work for, what, over 30 years now, certainly. And she draws crowds in the thousands. And she can sit for, she's the Hugging Saint because she sits for hours and hours and hours, and people get in long, long lines for a hug from her. And again, she embodies that Kuan Yin or Mother Mary total forgiveness energy. She accepts, receives, and hugs everyone like they are just as pure child, and they receive an incredible energy from her. I have experienced that hug. It was pretty amazing, vibrated my whole body. And this woman sits for 22 hours straight sometimes and does this, just in the state that she's, this altered state that she's in when she does this. And she's amazing, the force and power of her loving kindness. She's set up so many charities, there are so many orphanages, and it's incredible what's going on behind the scenes and really the things that are not known that she inspires and that she takes care of so many people around the world. And that reminds me of, you know, Mother Teresa, who is now a saint, considered a saint, the same thing, the charity and the, you know, what kind of energy was she running on that arthritic body? She was a tiny little thing all bent over, and she absolutely sourced her energy from some amazing place. She was just unstoppable with her giving and running off some kind of very high energy. And some people say, you know, Oprah Winfrey is amazing. She does practice self-care and balance and is more in tune with that modern practice. However, you know, what she accomplishes in one day, week, and over the decades, you know, just kind of blows me away. So those are three just off the top. And I'm going to just mention mine briefly and then take you into guided meditation to find your own. All right, so I'd say I picked three women who sparked me in childhood and opened a door that led to guide me, really, without my knowing. I didn't know any of this at all until reflecting on it later in an exercise like the one I'm going to lead you through. I remember when I was little having a very strong response to Jane Goodall. And you may know her as the scientist who lived in the jungle and talked to gorillas and monkeys and has deciphered that language and sign language and broke the communication barrier in the scientific world. And we understand the intelligence, high intelligence of these beautiful animals. She affected me. I was just, you know, stunned by her expertise and her knowledge. And I think because she was quiet spoken and mild mannered and fiercely determined. And you know, role models, there's something in them that you see in yourself. I'm pretty quiet spoken and I'm fiercely determined, and I have a little bit of a scientific bent on healing. And so even as a child, before I knew anything I would do, my jaw would drop, you know, anything to do with finding out where she was in the world and what she was doing and the breakthroughs that she was making. And she was an amazing pioneer. So she's one role model for me. Another one, I think it was Anne who talked about the figure skaters and how they inspire her with their the incredible triple loops and luxes and spins and these seemingly impossible feats that they do, you know, on a blade through space. Well, one of my first role models was Peggy Fleming. Once again, you know, I didn't have any idea what that would do for me, but all I knew was when I saw her perform her gold medal Olympic performance in ice skating and then take the podium on top and get the gold medal, I was just flabbergasted. I think I probably cried because I never saw this an elegant, beautiful woman be honored for her grace like that. I mean, with the Olympics, you know. So the men got so much more of the attention, and she was just, you know, queen for that year with her performance, and it was, she was being honored for her athleticism and her grace. So that affected me hugely. And, okay, the third one is not coming to my mind at the moment. I have many. But anyway, the third one is recent times in the last 10 years. Lynn Twist founded the Hunger Project. And then in recent years, she's a co-founder of the Pachamama Alliance, and she's the one who goes to the, you know, the headwaters of the Amazon and talks with indigenous people and sets up, you know, this amazing organization which helps to preserve the rainforest. And she does this incredible work. Again, she is working in nature and she's bridging a gap, cultural gap, hugely, that is affecting the lungs of the planet. You know, her work is amazing. So those are three modern women who I feel tap into goddess archetypes energy, each of them very different personalities and different fields entirely. And yet, they each of them are the ones that help to kind of guide my process along for what's possible so that I would keep going to ground my visions and live my life according to my values. So deep breath, coming back to this present moment, I'd like to guide you through an exercise to get in touch with these aspects of yourself. So I'm going to have you close your eyes and relax back and get back in touch with the breath. And just go into that conscious wave a little bit, filling the belly, arching the back. Full breath, raising the shoulders, exhaling. That was a lot of information, and now it's time to tune in to anything that sparks you, any vision of archetypal goddess that has meaning for you. Let's start there. So whether it's the ancient symbol of Gaia or something from the culture and spiritual practice you were raised in, you know, goddess or saint, divine mother, whether it's maybe, you know, something from another culture that just really grabs you. You don't have to know the name of the goddess, just the image, what part of nature she's associated with. Could be from a painting or a book you've read. What goddess archetype is speaking to you? And gives you energy when your thoughts go to her, when your eyes rest upon an image of her, what's the feeling? That comes up in your body? And do you know what element of nature she's associated with? Where is she sourcing her power? Is it the power of compassion and nourishment? Is it healing, creativity, or wisdom?
Hello, darling.
What is that ancient source that's just as alive today? As it ever was. And as you breathe in, allow a wave of that energy to rise through your body, through the wave of your breath. So breathe it in to your belly, arch your back, fill your pelvis with that energy. And breathe that all the way up to your heart. Let it fill, fill, fill. Bring it up to your throat on the next breath. Take it in as a nourishment. Taste it with your mouth. Smell it. Your sense of smell. Feast upon it with your eyes, the images, colors. Hear it. What does she sound like? Is it the rustle of the wind through the trees? Is it in her voice? Bring it in through all your senses. She inspires you. She helps you ground this energy through your body. She helps you amplify these energies. Take a breath. And then let your mind go to women from your childhood, perhaps, or young adulthood. Could be a public figure, could be someone you knew privately, a teacher, caregiver, artist, writer, a woman who embodies a quality or qualities that really inspired you, where you went, oh, so that's possible. She's doing it. Your life doesn't have to look anything like that. It was just one of those aha moments. Oh my goodness, they are amazing. That's possible. Yeah, just enjoy that quality. What is it that sparks you? What door did they open up for you? Some quality they have lit up that quality in you, and it may have gone in a completely different direction. It may have just uplifted you, released some old limitations. Wow, I can move forward. It just gives me energy that they exist on the planet. And then think of another woman from your recent life or early childhood. It doesn't matter when. Could be a public figure. Sometimes are athletes, actors, writers, artists, leaders, thought leaders, agents of change in the world, pioneers, healers. Domestic goddesses, keepers of the hearth. Let someone come to mind and then fully appreciate, wow, this person really just opened your eyes to another facet of what's possible, of what can exist. She embodies it. What quality is that? Just enjoy breathing that in and appreciating how this woke you up to something, another possibility. This exists and that affects you. It gives you energy to do whatever it is you do, to live your life however you live it. Okay, just coming back and just enjoying that inspiration. Let it settle in your body like you've just had a meal and you're digesting it. We don't have to know exactly what it does for us. We just know it feels good, and we took it in, and now we're assimilating and integrating it. And open your eyes, soft gaze. See how tuning into these energies and qualities really shifts our energy. We are not alone. We are not separate, struggling individuals. We are all connected. And so from the archetypal level of these elemental goddesses to our role models, whether they are living or past, whatever part of this lifetime you encountered them, read about them, or met them, that activates us and it helps us discover our unique combination of goddess qualities and helps us understand our gifts and abilities. You know, my life doesn't look like Peggy Fleming, you know, doesn't look like Jane Goodall. And I thought of the third one, who is one of my first teachers when I was 21, 22. Eleanor Santos. She was in her 70s and she was a channel. And she represented herself in court without a lawyer because she was such an amazing channel, and her soon-to-be ex-husband had a very high-priced lawyer he paid for. And she went in and she channeled what she spoke, and she changed the law in the state of Connecticut, which now, you know, is much more in favor of women in the situation that she was in. She was an amazing channel. She was a spitfire, tiny little woman, very diminutive, and she could hold her own anywhere. She's very grounded, very earthy. She was not airy-fairy. She made total sense in court and changed the law. without a lawyer. Oh, talk about a role model. She was great with me. Okay, so you're coming back and just hopefully enjoying that journey, the goddess journey, archetype journey, as well as your role model journey, and having that weave together for you and integrate. These are our gifts are the things we do so naturally that we don't think of them as extraordinary. So we don't think of them as being sourced from the goddess or anything like that. Other people see our gifts before we ever do. They're usually much more obvious to other people because they're so natural for us, we don't even know when we're doing them. And they're things that come easily to us. So when these things become known and seen by yourself, it's very empowering. That's when we can have more access to what it is. I remember I did this exercise where a teacher, I forget if it was Eleanor or a different teacher, said, since we can't see ourselves and we just project on others, whatever we're seeing when we admire someone, it's resonating a quality that we have in potential within ourselves. We are seeing ourselves when we are uplifted. We're also seeing ourselves when we criticize and judge something that, some part of ourselves we don't want to admit or even think about or, all those are projections, positive and negative. But what about this finding and getting more in tune with your gifts and abilities and tuning into role models and goddess archetypes that you can call on those energies to infuse your vision? Ancient people used to do prayers to the goddesses to be blessed. This is a modern conscious process where you could have the influence in your environment in some representational form and or tune into your role models and archetypes. Eleanor has since passed. That was many years ago. I was 21, 22, and she had me go teach my first class at 24. I didn't feel at all ready for it. She said, "You're ready. Go ahead." I think I had like 4 people. And, she was a role model. She helped me ground. I had no idea what else I'd be doing in my life. So we tend to project the miraculous. And when we start opening up to receive the miraculous, this means that we're much better able to make decisions that honor our nature. Right, the ability to make decisions that literally are things that are going to follow our natural gifts. Why do anything else? Why struggle? Why be caught up doing something for hours and hours and hours that's not your natural gift? That's called separation and struggle and survival versus being in the zone and the flow of how you're built. Right? Your heart's desires are seeds from the soul planted in your heart. They're your callings. So we're all about finding those callings and following those desires like water flowing down the mountain through the path of the river. It's there. It's in a flow. And amplifying that signal so that the water rises and flows over the rocks and around any obstacles and carves its way naturally, finds its way. You can much more easily choose what resonates with you that will complement and enhance and support you when you get in touch with these gifts through resonating with your role models and the goddess archetypes. Right, you also are more able to receive the challenges, things that need to be met to balance your character, personality, your life. A lot of us have the challenge of receiving times for rest and play and putting ourselves first. That's a challenge. Because we can just get on automatic doing and get way out of touch with what nourishes us. But there are things that need to be felt, faced, and transformed. So I'm going to ask for shares at the closing of class tonight. What came up for you within the guided meditations? Maybe a role model, a significant role model from your past. Someone who inspired you, someone who brought a quality forward, who saw a gift in you and or demonstrated a gift, inspired you, that uplifted you. And or I'm also curious about what goddess archetype you're the most affected by or interested in. Is it something from your own culture or some other culture entirely? Or is this something you haven't really thought, given much thought to at all, but something still came up in your consciousness? I'd love to hear about that. So to do that, you press *6 and then 1 to get in the queue. So I'm going to ask for shares. Press *6 and 1. And while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you what to bring to the next and final class. We're going to have a little graduation ceremony in our next class. And we're going to do in that ceremony, which I'll send you this also by email, but I want to tell you ahead of time, to have these various elements on hand. Have a candle ready to light and have a favorite object from the mineral kingdom. That just means a rock, stone, or crystal, or metal object. And then have, or either in your environment or near you, from the plant kingdom. And that could be, doesn't have to be flowers, could be a plant, could be something also, you know, right outside your window where you are, or something in your house, wherever you are. So, you know, candle, and then some sort of water, representation of water. So it could even be, you know, a glass of water in your favorite glass. Could also be seashell from the ocean, something like that. And then something scented, just, you know, it could be the plant itself has a scent. Or it could be, you know, some natural soap or something, or oil, or just something that, a fragrance that touches you emotionally in a positive, uplifting way. And then either a photo or the real deal, live thing of some kind, something from the animal kingdom that you absolutely love. And, you know, that's anything and anything goes, from salamanders, birds, on up to, you know, bears and whatever. Even your domestic animals, your dogs, cats, rabbits, and whatever, also qualify if they're in your environment. And then one of these role models, just something written on a paper. The handout from this week, which will be in your members page tomorrow, will have journaling prompts to write down who these role models are. I'll be asking you, you know, which ancient goddess that you're most drawn to. You know, what energies or elements of nature do they carry that speak to you? So just have that in mind with you. You don't have to have the physical representation or a photo, but just have that in mind. And then also how you would imagine that you would like to bring some representation of that into your life, whether that's a drawing, painting, a little miniature statue, or some piece of jewelry that has a symbol on it, whatever that is. And then modern-day female role models, women who sparked your dreams from childhood or recent years. And these are the ones that bring qualities you want to develop more of and also help you follow through with inspired action. Right? They inspire us. Okay, so that is the assignment that's going to be there on your members page tomorrow. And also I'm going to ask next week for celebration shares. So be thinking about, and I will send you two, just three quick questions, which are, let's see, they were in the email I sent out. I think they're in the last email I sent out to you. You could have gotten that one today. But I'm going to send them out again. They're three quick questions about what were your main takeaways from the 90-day journey, and what is something that you really were able to put into practice that made a difference. And I'll send you out that as well, so you'll have something prepared for that. So is there anyone who would like to share what came up for them in their guided meditation before we close tonight? The symbol of the goddess or a role model from childhood, inspiration. Shy callers tonight. Oh, I'm going to tell you on it from one of the emails I got a permission to share this. Okay, so one of our participants talked about with me about this as I was designing this class, and she was saying that her role model for fairly recent times was Amelia Earhart, and that Amelia Earhart, amazing pioneer spirit for her. She had no idea at the time when she was little, hearing about her, that she would end up learning how to fly a plane. That just, wasn't in her consciousness it was in her consciousness as a possibility because there was this woman pilot, Amelia Earhart. But it was not in her consciousness to know that she would end up as a pilot for People's Airlines, and that she actually would end up with her pilot's license, being a flight instructor, and then a pilot for People's Airlines. And that was, she says it wouldn't have happened if not for hearing about Amelia Earhart. That wouldn't have even dropped in as a possibility for her. And once she got a taste for flying, that was it. It just took her over. And this is someone who also, loves the Celtic traditions and the goddess of the harvest. Plant medicines and herbs are one of her greatest loves. She almost went into herbology and just kind of does it on the side for herself, for her family, and just has a love of it and studies on occasion just to give her the energy. She's also been a teacher of young children, and so her goddess archetypes are a pioneer spirit, teacher, and healer. And those three archetypes, really, you can see them throughout a thread throughout her whole life. So it's just another example of somebody's role models and archetypes. Okay, we have caller. Let's see, is this last four digits are 4051. Hello, you're live.
So that's Catherine again.
Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Great. So the goddesses that came up for me, one of them was my mother.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And because she was such an inspiration to me, she gave me so much art in my life. And another one was her best friend, Alice Holcomb, with whom I'm living with her son right now, who's also an artist.
Huh.
And she was a great artist. So she really inspired me to live life as an art.
Oh,
and then
my
other modern-day role model goddess is Jean Houston.
Oh, yes.
She is such an inspiration.
Tell the callers who she is who may not know. She wrote the book Jump Time, and she's quite the pioneer and new thought leader. She's amazing.
Okay, I can't think of the... She is... I can't think of the word that I want to say.
She's a new paradigm writer, and philosopher.
Yes, she's a fantastic writer. She's, I'm sorry, I can't think of the word that I want to explain.
It's okay. People come out of guided meditations and have a hard time articulating from the meditation. I realize that. That was something people have told me, that as much as they enjoy the meditations, it's hard to talk afterwards. So I appreciate the share. Yeah, Jean
she's
Houston.
A visionary.
She's a visionary. Yes.
Of our time.
Yeah, she is. Talk about anything's possible.
Tours. She conducts tours. She's going to Greece. She's an inspiration. She met with Helen Keller as a child.
Mm.
Einstein. And Eleanor Roosevelt. She worked with Eleanor Roosevelt when she was in high school.
Wow. Wow, talk about role model to role model. Yeah.
She gives seminars.
Yep.
She's really amazing.
She's brilliant. Brilliant visionary.
Yeah, just to hear her speak is very, very inspiring.
Uh-huh.
So, and the colors that came up were turquoise and the smells of lilac.
Uh-huh.
That was all in my meditation.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And thank you. And you're one, too. So.
Oh, thank you, Catherine. Thank you so
much. Very inspiring. Very, very inspiring. You and Christine both.
Oh, lovely. Gosh, well, ladies, we're right at time, so I'm going to let you go for the evening, and I will be sending you an email for what to have on hand for the ceremony that we're going to do next time. And I so appreciate all of your attention and your emails, and you all inspire me to create these classes. So I just want to thank all of you. I'm going to unmute the lines here in just a second. Lines are open. Good night. Blessings and good night, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Good night.